Department of Administrative Services. And this is the Department of Administrative Services fee agency hearing that's required by 63J1504. And we appreciate you joining us today. As a matter of business, as Melissa just mentioned, this meeting is being recorded for compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. So please keep that in mind. You are welcome to turn off your cameras if you would like. If you're going to speak, we ask you to turn on your camera so that that gives us a heads up that you would like to say something. And then it looks like all the mics are muted. So unless you're speaking, please mute your microphone. The Open and Public Meetings Act added a new provision this year dealing with meetings that don't have a anchor location. So that statute requires that we read a statement at the meeting. So this is the written determination made pursuant to Utah Code 52-4-207-4 and 5. Due to the health risks caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, I have made a written determination that conducting a meeting in an anchor location presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may present and be present at the anchor location. The Department of Administrative Services, the agency hearing required by Utah Code 63J-1-504 is a meeting that I believe will have interest from other agencies and the public, and as such will be difficult to estimate and potentially keep socially distant the number of people wanting to attend the meeting. Accordingly, I have determined that in the interest of public health and safety, DAS can accomplish what needs to be accomplished electronically. That statement is signed by me, Kenneth A. Hansen, DAS Deputy Executive Director, on September 23rd. So we will conduct this meeting virtually, and we will proceed. The way we will conduct this meeting is that we will follow the agenda. We will go down through each of the organizations that has fees that need to be discussed. I will ask someone from the department to speak to those fees and give us a general overview. And then if there are questions after each presentation, I'll be happy to take those. And if you have a question, you're welcome to just turn on your camera. So with that, we will start with the DAS grandma fees. I've asked Dave Williams to represent the department on that. So Dave, I'll turn the time over to you.
Okay, Ken, thanks. At this point, DAS has no changes to the grandma fees for FY 2022. We'll just use the current fees as already approved. So no changes there.
Okay. Great. Okay. I should have indicated with the email that went out and with the notice that's posted on the public notice website, there were three handouts. We've given you a list of the fees that were approved for this fiscal year through House Bill 8. We've given you a one-page handout that shows the changes to the fees, and then we've given you the a PDF of the fees for the Department of Administrative Services that fall under the category that are required by the Budgetary Procedures Act. So any questions for Dave about the DAS grandma fees? I'm not seeing any. So let's go to the Division of Archives. Ken Williams will speak to the fees for Archives and Record Service. Ken, go ahead, unmute your mic.
Sorry about that. I'm Ken Williams. I'm the Division Director at State Archives. And we have two fees that are being retired or closed out. And this is a cleanup from last year. We had suggested that these fees be eliminated. As the business model of State Archives has changed, we are moving more towards the digital capture of records. And so we no longer need the fee for frames filmed and for standard and for frames filmed custom. So we're just asking for the elimination of those fees. And that is my presentation.
Okay. Are there any questions of Ken Williams regarding the archives fees? So thank you, Ken. We will move on to the Division of Facilities, Construction and Management. Daryl Hunting will be representing DFCM. Oh, Daryl, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Daryl Hunting with DFCM. I am the Assistant Director over Capital Improvements, presenting our non-state funded fee increase. And non-state funded fees are charged on projects that are not appropriated by the legislature for construction projects. There are projects that agencies or institutions bring forward that they fund through other funding sources. And this funding increase, there has not been a funding increase since these fees were implemented back in the 2015 legislative session, I believe, starting to charge those fees in FY16. And this fee increase is approximately a 20% increase from when it was originally initiated. And these fees with the increase are still considerably less than what other institutions charge for their project management fees. These fees, they cover the cost of project managers and any administrative support that the projects need. DSCM will issue all of the contracts for construction, for design, for inspections, and oversee all that. And these fees cover those charges that we need to provide to complete projects. So with that, unless there's any question, that basically completes my presentation.
All right. Are there any questions for Daryl? I'm not seeing any. All right. With no further questions, Daryl, thank you very much. We'll turn the time over to the Division of Finance and Janica Gines, Assistant Director for Finance, will make that presentation.
All right, thanks, Ken. Again, this is Janica Gines, Assistant Director with the Division of Finance. Morning to everybody. Unfortunately, things are gonna be a little more involved than the previous few. So we'll start with some easy ones there. We are eliminating a couple of fees, and those fees relate to the parental defense program that is moved from the Division of Finance over to CCJJ. So those fees will appear over there, but we're eliminating those from our section. The first ones that I will talk about in more detail are the ones related to payroll. We have an existing fee that we charge that will stay the same as a statutory fee for garnishments, and that will not be changing. But we are proposing four new fees in this area. Three of them relate to out-of-state employee setup. So as we've all transitioned to telework, we have more and more requests of agencies that have employees that would like to work out of state. And that presents some unique challenges for our payroll team. And so we are looking at proposing some fees to set those up. So the first fee is the out-of-state employee setup fee. Because we have to basically apply with the state that the employee is going to be working with and be set up as a state that can collect withholding for them. We then have to integrate into their system, and we have to implement and program in the proper withholding rates for those areas. And that can be just at the state level. Some areas have it at the local level. Counties can have separate rates that we have to withhold. It's significantly more complex to work with out-of-state employees. So again, the first fee is to set them up, and then the next fee would be $2,200. So we've taken and tried to estimate the amount of time it would take the various different DTS and finance staff to actually program this in on average. And so We came up with a flat fee for that, and then we will have a flat fee, or are proposing a flat fee for the regular annual maintenance on those, because there are updates to rates. We have to then update in the system program test those rates as well. We have to submit and file with each state and locality potentially. It varies, and so it can be monthly, it can be quarterly or annually. That all depends. And then we have to issue separate W-2s and do some separate processes for these folks. And so there is some ongoing work that's involved with these. And so we're proposing a $1,300 annual fee for employees that are working out of state. The third fee that relates to the same thing is really a tax review. It's kind of a consulting fee with a tax attorney, and that would only be used in the event that we need some assistance in setting it up due to the complexity of the locality or area that the individual will be working in. And so that's just going to be an actual cost, and so we're putting in an estimate. We don't think that we'll use that very frequently, but that's there in case we need to have the services of a consultant to help us set that up. So we're estimating that might be $1,000 total for us, but again, that would just be an actual cost for consulting work. The final fee in the payroll area that we're proposing is a payroll interface document cleanup fee at $46 and a penny. So we probably round that off, but anyway, that was calculated based on a mix of DTS and staff fees. You'll see this fee again in the FIS. We're trying to just have one fee for this interface cleanup. So this will come into play if there's interfaces that feed into the system and there are consistent errors in those interfaces that are not being corrected. That's when we would start talking about that fee. We had an instance where we had a system that interfaces into payroll, And due to other competing interests on the programming team side, they were unable to correct the errors that were being sent into our system for about 6 months. And so that is probably an example of when that fee would come into play, because we have additional work to clean it up before we can make those payments and send interfaces over to Finet. And so that's kind of the scenario for that. In our disbursements area, we are keeping the same fees that we've had in the past. There will be no change to those fees. And so I will move on to our financial reporting area, which is the same thing. If you notice anything on the fee changes schedule in financial reporting, that is because it looks like there's a change in the fee when in actuality it's just a change in the estimated amount we plan to collect. So we try to be reflective of what our actual collections were, especially for those that are actual costs, like our ISF accounting services, the CMIA and others. We look at the most recently completed year and update the total that we estimate to collect. So those are the changes that you're seeing in that area on that change list, but there's no change in the actual fee that will be charged, if that makes sense. And the last one that I'll talk about for finance is our financial information systems area, FHG. So that area, we are proposing a few changes, and there will be some that remain the same. The customer report and dashboard development will be the same at actual cost, as will the rebates that we receive for certain payments will stay the same. I will speak to the interface document cleanup again, because we just came off that in payroll. That will be the same charge in this area as above. So just to keep it consistent across the division in general. And so that too is for systems that interface into Finet, where we've had consistent or long-term errors that are feeding in. Those are the kinds of things that we would look to, charge an hourly rate for cleaning those up. But the biggest changes relate to the interface implementation fee. So currently today we have an hourly rate built in to the approved fee schedule. We are proposing to change these to flat rates that hopefully will get us to a point where we can build these into project costs on the front end. And they should be, they're estimated to be reflective of the actual time spent Part of this change came about because due to resource constraints of our FIS team, we've needed to employ the work of DTS staff to do some of this programming work and the front end design work for this. And so that changes the nature of the fee a little bit. And we thought that, again, to the extent that we can provide a base rate and through conversations on the front end of a project, determine if it fits in the small, medium, or large bucket, then agencies will know on the front end what they're looking at for each interface. So with that concludes my presentation for the finance fees.
Okay. Are there any questions about the finance fees? I'm not seeing any. Janica, do you want to conclude with the state debt collection?
Sure. Yep, I will speak now to the state office state debt collection. So in this area, we are proposing no changes to the fees. There is one statutory fee that we have updated. The statute for non-sufficient check collection indicates that it's for the collection fee is a $35 fee. You're not going to see that on the consolidated changes because it is a statutory fee, but just to inform you of that change. The remaining changes that you'll see on the one-page document that we sent out are, again, just changes in the estimated revenue. The corrections tuition fee is still a 10% of tuition account balance, and the collection penalty is still a 6%. Those are the fees we will charge. It was just updates in the estimated revenue that resulted in the change that you're seeing on that sheet. So with that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Are there any questions? Right. Okay, thank you very much. Just a couple of notes as we conclude this discussion. I want to clarify that the EAS grandma fees that Dave Williams presented, those are for the entire Department of Administrative Services. They're not just for the Executive Director's Office. And I think we covered the other items specifically. Are there any other individuals who would like to comment about the DAS fees? All right. If there's no other comments, we've concluded our business and we're done with this fee hearing. Thank you for attending.